Hi guys, welcome back to This Is Life Unfiltered. Happy almost 2019. Can you believe that the new year is almost upon us? It's honestly freaking me out. I always get really anxious around the new year because I feel like I haven't accomplished enough in 1 year, or I feel like I have much more that I need to do. There's something about the new year that I don't love because I hate the whole idea of making goals. I've always been the kind of person that the minute somebody asks me, what's your 5-year goal or what's your plan for this year, I have a major panic attack. And every time I go home and see my parents, my mom is always like, the first question is, what's your goal for the next 5 months? And it freaks me out. So today I wanted to talk about tips for navigating that, as well as something that a lot of us struggle with, which is networking. But before I get into this episode, make sure to follow me on social media at Alexa_Curtis. And I've been getting a lot of comments and questions and DMs from you guys about submitting to be on the podcast. As usual, I say it over and over. If you're interested in being on This Is Life Unfiltered, you can submit directly on the form on the website. Feel free to send me a DM and let me know you're emailing us, but that form is really right there and it has everything for you, which is at tilupodcast.com. And the Be Fearless Summit is coming March 15th, 2019. I cannot believe it. If you subscribe to my newsletter, you're going to find out a bunch of stuff that's happening today. That's when the newsletter is going to be going out, 2 p.m. today. So if you're not subscribed to that, head to my website and you can subscribe right on the website. A pop-up will come up. But we've got two major partners and sponsors that have locked in to sponsor this. The stakes are so high. I'm anxious really about this summit. I've never put something like this together, but I think it's going to be great. And I'm thrilled to see so much progress being made. I'm not sleeping, you guys. I've really been working like 15-hour days, but it's okay. Okay, up until March 15th. But anywho, so I've always been the kind of person that gets really anxious when somebody asks me what the plan is. I don't know why. I've never been able to figure out why I get so anxious, but my mom has now stopped asking me because every time she asks me, I freak out. And my dad started telling her, my mom's name is Audrey. Audrey, like, stop asking that because every time you ask it, she freaks out. And a lot of people might be in the same boat, or they might not even care about what that 5-month plan is. I guess just when you're an entrepreneur, things are constantly changing. So something in my life is changing every day. Nothing ever goes as planned. If something goes as planned, I'm shocked. But I've gotten better as I've gotten older to kind of adjusting to things going a different way. But that's why I don't really like to answer that question of what my plan is, because I don't really have a plan. I have bigger goals and smaller goals, and I guess that fits into the plan. But the whole idea of trying to stuff everything that I'm trying to do into a 5-month plan or whatever is no bueno to me. But a few weeks ago, I got dinner with one of my really good girlfriends, Danielle. She's actually been on the podcast, Danielle Roby. She's officially speaking at the summit also in March. But I got dinner with her and he decided to leave, and I was going to leave if I hadn't gotten the show with Disney. I couldn't do it. It was too much for me. Luckily, I got the show and I've stayed, and now it's been over a year I've been living here and things have definitely gotten better. I have more friends now. I feel more comfortable with myself. I have an office. I feel like I found my place, but that first year was rough, like so rough. I could go on a whole other tangent on a different episode about that. And if you've ever moved to a different city, you probably know too, it's very difficult that first year, unless you have family and existing friends, which I didn't have when I moved to LA. But I told her, I even still feel like I should be going out more. When I first moved here with Gabe doesn't really like going out. He's like a little bit antisocial. I think everyone's antisocial, but Gabe definitely, I think, gets really anxious about going out. I definitely have gotten better at it and I've stopped caring, but I have certain events, or if I'm going out with certain people, I do get anxious. I get nervous about who's going to be there. I get nervous about what people are thinking about me. And especially in LA, showing up to an event, AKA like I did the other week, that was a big Brooks Brothers party. And I went with one of my friends, Daniela, and she also is just like a no fucks. She cares like literally less than I do. And I was like, I just want to walk in. I didn't think it was going to be this bougie party. And her and I walk in literally out of the gym. Oh my God, we're sitting next to Chase Crawford, Sofia Vergara. I literally looked like I was like drenched in sweat. I've never been stared at by so many celebrities. Like, imagine Chase Crawford looking at you like, you could look cute. Why are you wearing this? So I stayed for like 10 minutes, ate hot chocolate, and then I left. So there's certain things like that actually should have given me anxiety going into that party, but I didn't know what it was going to be. So I just showed up in gym clothes and then I left. But anywho, when you're living in one of these major cities, Chicago, New York, Los Angeles, anywhere that's like one of these cities where a lot of people do spend a lot of their time going out, it's hard to not kind of get sucked into that lifestyle. So I was talking with Danielle about it, and she said something to me that really stood out. And she said, why would I go out to these parties to have conversations with people that aren't deep? She's like, I'm too old to care about having conversations with people that don't matter to me. And that really stuck with me for a few reasons. Number one, I'm a very intense, very deep person. So a lot of times I have trouble like dating and having strong relationships with people that are new that come into my life, because I just have a really tough time like meeting people, I guess, that don't want to necessarily open up. I'm not somebody who is like a fluff, quote unquote, fluff kind of friend. I don't like to talk about like bags and shoes. I want to have like real honest conversations. To me, it's not worth having somebody in my life who is either going to be gone the next day because they're just in their own world, they don't care, or because they're too self-involved, or they're using me. I've come to realize that I would rather stay away from those people, even if I get a little bit of a glimpse of them being like that. I'd rather stay away from them than even let them in. I think also just as a child, I had a lot of trauma that happened to me. So a lot of the ways that I work and a lot of the ways that I think I'm kind of wired because of what happened to me when I was younger, there are certain things that really affect me, and especially kind of the whole abandonment thing. Like that's a real thing, even if my parents are still married, but like I have severe abandonment issues. And a lot of times I've become really close with certain girls for them to just kind of disappear. And in a way, it's kind of that abandonment thing. And it's not personal. I mean, obviously they weren't supposed to be in my life anyway, and they were kind of shitty friends. But it is really difficult when you've had any type of abandonment stuff in your life, because then those relationships are really difficult to maintain if that person's kind of in and out. So anywho, so she said that to me, and I really thought about that, and I was like, this makes sense now. I mean, I'm only 21, but I battle with myself, you guys, about sometimes feeling like I should go out, going out and being miserable, going out and like, you know, getting in with a crowd that's not necessarily the kind of crowd I should be hanging out with, because I know that they're the kind of people that like I'd rather be hanging out with, if that makes sense. I mean, there are certain people in the industry that are really good to be around. I'm not going to deny it. Like sometimes I'll go out with people or I'll meet somebody and I'm like, I wouldn't hang out with you. Like I wouldn't invite you over to my house for like a nice dinner, but to like go out and be in your circle is not the worst thing. And they're probably thinking the same thing about me. And that's where those relationships come in. Some are going to be useful for that going out, that networking, that person that you're like, I need a glass of wine, like come out with me, and they're there. And then you have your other group of friends that, God forbid, something happens at midnight, you can call that person up and they have you on Find My Friends, and like they're at your doorstep in a heartbeat. And for that first year of time when I moved to LA, I had, I want to say like 10 people on the left side and maybe 3 people on the right side. And because I'm somebody who really lives for those deeper conversations, that first year I had so many ups and downs. I broke up with my boyfriend. I got really depressed. I have dealt with so much anxiety because of all of those different things. But I'm getting to a point now where I'm realizing that I don't need to go out to feel good about myself. FOMO is real. Like if you spend any Saturday night in your bed and you don't go out, you're going to have FOMO regardless. Like 2 weeks ago, I went out to these crazy parties, just like insane celebrities' houses. We went out to a club, like crazy. Everyone's on their phones, Instagramming all these celebrities. And I went out 3 nights in a row. And I had kind of told myself a few weeks ago, like you're going to pick one weekend this month and you're going to go out and you're going to do it. And you're not going to worry about going to the gym. You're just going to go out and you're going to like do your thing and be 21 and just not give a shit about having to wake up on a Sunday at 11 a.m., whatever. And I did, and I did it. And then I find myself waking up on Monday kind of like, God, I don't know that I love that. Like that didn't really make me feel good. I feel like I'm comparing myself now to the people I went out with. And then I'm kind of like a little depressed. And then I talk to my therapist and she kind of brings me back down to earth. And that's really what happened last weekend. And then this weekend, because I had such a crazy weekend last week and I'm working these ridiculous like 13-hour days, I'm just so exhausted that I can't even fathom talking to somebody. Like even my friends are asking me to go to dinner. I can't even do it because by 6 p.m. I'm so exhausted. I just want to get in my bed. So this weekend, I didn't do anything. My friends went out on Friday night and I didn't go, and I didn't go on Saturday. I went and got ice cream with one of my other friends and we got sushi. And then the rest of my other friends still went out and there was all these Christmas parties and whatnot. And I sat in my bed and I felt like shit. I was like, I should be out what's wrong with me? And I'm thinking this subconsciously. And then I woke up on Sunday and I felt a little bit better. And then by the time Sunday afternoon comes, I felt the same way again. I felt like kind of worthless. Like, why were all my friends out and I wasn't out? Like, why wasn't I invited? Aren't I cool enough? And I'm trying to find this easy balance right now. And I'm explaining this to you because I really hope that this is relatable. And I'm trying to say that even if you go out, you're not necessarily going to be happy either way. Staying in, you have FOMO and you got to get over that. And then going out, you probably make mistakes or you like go home with a guy or that you wouldn't have if you weren't out on a Saturday night, certain things like that. So that's where the concept behind those key relationships, your friends, and then your going out friends, as well as the people that are in the middle, as well as the networking. But I would really consider a lot of that to be peer pressure in a sense. I have friends that really go out and they don't live for those deep conversations. Like they want to become famous or I don't really, no, I would take that back. I don't hang out with people who like want to become famous, but I mean, a lot of the people that like will go out and see, you can just tell when somebody's so desperate to be involved in the entertainment industry or like be successful or hang out with people with a lot of followers. And those are the people that are not living for those deep conversations, but I don't need to have those deep conversations with them. You know what I mean? But I do say, and I would say that every time in all of the cities that I lived in, when I used to live in New York, the networking was so good. It was so different. Like people really use business cards. Now, if I go up to someone and try and offer a business card, they're like, why would I want your business card? Or they'll take a picture of it. And I'm like, come on, like business cards are so great. But it's really changed in the sense that people don't go out anymore to network. People really go out to like black out and drink a lot and do a lot of substances. And that's just not my vibe. So if you're looking for those deeper conversations and you're looking to really learn something from the people you're hanging out with, then make the sacrifice. If you'd rather be at a bookstore or you'd rather be working on a Saturday or Sunday, it doesn't really matter. You're not going to get further by going out unless that's the crew you want to be involved with. And those are not the people I can tell you that are getting up at 6 a.m. on a Monday morning to like work and go to the gym because they're hungover and they're sleeping till 4 p.m. And like, I don't want that. And I bet a lot of you guys don't want that. So therefore you have to make the sacrifice and you will get over it eventually once you find your core group of friends who are the people you really want to hang out with who don't do that stuff and who don't live that lifestyle. But it really is peer pressure. So if like you have people trying to convince you to go out and stuff, I mean, everyone has an excuse, like say your excuses or pick a day once a month to go out. I love going to dinners. I love going to like dinner parties. I love going to my friend's house to order takeout, but it's just the clubs and like those really intense parties that I don't necessarily love or a lot of the industry kind of party things because everyone's just like, who is everybody? And everyone's comparing themselves and we're all just everyone's so dang insecure at the same time. So I tell you when somebody's looking at somebody else, that person is looking at somebody else. But at the end of the day, we're all just thinking about what are other people thinking about us. So if somebody's judging you, like screw them. Who really cares what people think? Like girlfriend, show up in your gym clothes. I can tell you, I wouldn't show back up to a Brooks Brothers Christmas party in my gym clothes for the possibility that, you know, Chase Crawford and I might get married. And I don't want the first thing him to say to his mom is like, I met her when she was in her gym clothes. But like, you know, it just depends. But don't go out with people that aren't filling that space for you that you need, those deep conversations and whatnot, and don't let people pressure you into it. But so the thing about networking, there's a few things about networking that I've come to realize as well as how important business cards are. I truly think business cards are so crucial and play a really crucial part. But when I used to network, I was such a go-getter. I mean, you guys, I don't get to how far I've gotten in my career by like not going out. I really, when I tell you, I'm 17 living in New York. Like I was crazy. I used to go out all the time. I was the first person and the last person at every club, like 17 years old. I was living there alone. I was paying for my own rent. All of my friends were older. Like I was just a much more mature person. And I think that's why that old soul personality has kind of stuck with me for such a long time because I did so much of this stuff that people start doing when they're in college. I was doing it at 17. So all of my friends that I've grown up with and now we all have our full-time careers. And it's so funny because like even one of my really good friends, Hannah, she'll send me pictures and be like, oh my God, do you remember this night? And I was like, this is what people are starting to do now at 21. And I was doing it at 17. So I know now, like, I don't need to do that kind of stuff. And I've made my way in the industry because I really did used to go out. I'm not condoning it at all. But I mean, when you're 17 in New York, like I was finding myself, I was meeting people, I was networking. And I also was freelance writing for Guest of a Guest. So I used to be kind of forced to go because I didn't want to lose the opportunity. I'd be forced to go to these different events and some of them sucked. And some of them I really, really actually to this day got solid connections out of. I would show up with my business card. I would talk to everyone. It's only as I've gotten older that I'm kind of like, oh gosh, I feel weird about going up to somebody, or like, I don't know, maybe because I know more about myself, and like, I'm very extroverted, but I can also be an introvert if I don't know you, because then I get kind of like nervous and I just don't really know the vibe. But I used to go out all the time. And I think that it really did play a huge part in where I am right now in my career, because I just made those solid connections because I didn't care. And once you get older, you start to care, and you really shouldn't care at all. Because if you're going to go out, like, make it worth your while. I have just been recently feeling like none of it's worth my while. I just haven't been getting anything out of going out. But a lot of times, if you're going to the right places and you're forcing yourself to go out and like connecting with those people, I say if you can walk away from every event with one good connection, then it was worth it. Sometimes you'll go and it'll be no connections and it sucked, and you'll have 5 weeks like that. And then you'll go out one time and you're like, oh wow, that was like the perfect connection that I needed. So it's kind of hit or miss. If you're going to listen to me and think, okay, well, does that mean she's telling me to go out all the time? I'm saying no. I really believe in the whole like thing, go with your gut. Like last night, my friend invited me to Drake Bell's Christmas party, and my gut was like, I don't want to go. I invited this guy I kind of like, and he couldn't go. And I was like, I don't want to go. And she went and was like, it sucked. But then the night before, she forced herself. She invited me to this event that I didn't go to. And she said she got some really good connections from it. So it's really just like, go with your gut. At the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. You could make those connections somewhere else. You could make those connections via email, but there are two paths you could do. You can do the traditional networking where you walk up to somebody with a business card, or you can do what a lot of people do nowadays. And like, you cold email, or you like cold call somebody, or a writer, a journalist, whatever. So there's other ways. So don't beat yourself up if you start going out to events and whatnot, and you're not introducing yourself to somebody. Just take it slow. Like, you're kind of along for the ride. Analyze how other people are. Really gauge the vibe at parties and events. Like, I really gauge the vibe whenever I walk in the door. I can instantly be like, okay, these people in the room do this, or these are the people I want to talk to, or like, I wonder what that person does. Half the time I walk into these events and I'm like, oh my God, you guys are all 59 pounds tinier than me. You're all so much prettier than me. God knows what you all do for careers, like a bunch of influencers and whatever. Are these the kind of people I really need to meet? No, unless it's like some influencer or somebody who really inspires me, who'd be good for the podcast or something, like then I'll go up and approach them. But I mean, if you look at somebody and like they give you a dirty look, why would you go up and approach them? Just because what, you see them online and they seem happy? Doesn't everyone seem happy online? So networking does definitely play a key role, but you really do have to do it in the right way. And it is scary, and it's scary because of rejection, right? I read an article, it was yesterday, but I pulled it up today, and it said, smile. This is such a simple, basic rule, yet people just don't think about it. Peter Handel, the CEO and chairman of Dale Carnegie and Associates, which is a book, a company that wrote a book on networking in 1936 called How to Win Friends and Influence People. So don't get so focused on how much you hate networking that you walk around a party or a conference with a grimace on your face, because any scowling or any type of facial impression like that, that's not going to get people to talk to you. You know what I mean? It's like, if you're at a bar and you see a cute girl or a guy, like, you smile. My friend the other day / roommate, she says to me, she was at Goodwill and there was a cute guy behind her. And I was like, Nike, like, what'd you do? Did you say something? She goes, oh no, I put my head down. I was like, what? I was like, so cute boy looking at you behind you in line and you put your head down. She was like, yeah, I was so nervous. And I was like, all you had to do was smile. People get so scared of rejection. And especially now with social media, it is so much easier to like cold email somebody or cold call than it is to go to a bar or go to a party and smile at somebody. But if you're that 1% that makes that connection, that uses your eyes and uses your body in the sense that like your body position looks really inviting, that's the 1% of people that become successful. And that was the personality that I had when I used to go out all the time and I was going to all these networking events. And that's why I became so successful with the people that I met, was because I just didn't care and I felt very inviting. So if you go to these events and whatnot and you walk in like, I hate this, then leave. You're not getting anything out of it anyway. Like, I know when I'm in those moods, I get out. There's no point. If it's a Friday night and I'm like, I don't even want to get out of my bed, I hate everything, I'm so tired, I'm not going to go out and network, because if anything, I'm probably going to make connections that aren't even going to help, in the sense that I was so miserable and unhappy that that person's going to like hate me already. So don't force yourself. Like, if you're in the mood and you want to socialize, then do it. And if not, don't. But when you go into an event, and especially if you go alone, walk in and just think, nobody here knows who I am. Nobody's paying attention to me because they're all thinking about somebody or something else. And all these events do get easier. if you walk into a room and it's super clicky, like when I first started with Disney, even now, I mean, it really is a family. Like the stuff that you see on TV about Disney, it's so true. And I walk into conferences and meetings with, you know, if the whole team's there and I'm super intimidated and I feel like I'm completely starting from the bottom, even though I'm so progressed in my career, it's like a completely new thing for me. I'm so intimidated. I'm so scared. And even though I'm not necessarily walking in and needing to network, I need to meet with people and I need to like know who somebody else is, or I'm going to get introduced to somebody. And it's really intimidating. So the best thing you can do is just tell yourself, if this person doesn't like you, then you don't need to talk to them anyway. Always be cordial, but don't get nervous about what people are thinking about you. Because when I tell you, everyone's always thinking about themselves, I'm completely being honest and so true, because I really do know that that's what people are thinking about. But it's not like just because I don't necessarily go out to these events all the time now, it doesn't mean that other ways in my life, like these meetings and these big kind of corporate things that I'm networking at in a sense, and I still get really scared when you walk in. But if you walk in and you know why you're there and you know why you're walking into this event, whether it's to meet one or two people, go up to the person who looks the nicest. If they reject you, then whatever. Be like, the easiest thing, I'm waiting for my friend, but what do you do? Like, I mean, it sounds dumb. Like, what do you do? But that's like, that's literally what I say all the time. If I'm standing next to me, like, oh, what do you do just for work? Or like, oh, do you live in the area? I mean, there's so many. I'm thinking like back to when I lived in New York, I would go to these parties alone a lot of the time because I didn't have any friends my age who would want to go to these parties with me. And I'd walk in and be like, hi, you know, my name's Alexa. I'm waiting for my friend. I had no friends, but I was like, oh, I'm waiting for my friend. Like, do you live in the area? And then it's kind of like a quick, oh no, I live in Brooklyn. Where do you live? Oh, I live on the Upper East Side. Oh, my mom lives there. And then it's like, boom, 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 domino effect. And again, if you're facing that rejection, it's worse because it's in person, but it really makes you stronger. All the times that I went out when I was younger and I met people and I got rejected a lot of times, meeting people in person, like helped me get so much ease. Like, I made the rejection so much easier as I got older because I knew what that rejection felt like in person. And it is so easy to be rejected from an email once you've been rejected completely in person. So just walk in, have a happy face, and know why you're there. You're there to network, and those events do really get easier. I'm going to do a giveaway either today or tomorrow or sometime this weekend. I'm going to give away some business cards because in all of my school talks and all of the PDFs that I showcase, or the PowerPoints that I have at all of my college talks, I have a slide in there that showcases two things. I have two slides. One that showcases the importance of an elevator pitch, and I have another one that showcases the importance of business cards. And if you're a student and you're listening to this, or you're like a young adult, or you work at a corporate company, you're probably thinking, oh, this part doesn't apply to me. Hey, all of you in those three categories, it does apply to you. And if anything, it's more important that you have business cards because you're probably harder to track online. Listen, whether you're a student, whether you work corporate, whether you're an entrepreneur, whatever, everyone has a side hustle. Am I right? So even if you don't know what your side hustle is or what your hobby is, one day you're going to have one and you're going to be in an elevator next to a Mark Cuban, and you're going to miss out on your opportunity if you don't, number one, know your elevator pitch, know yourself, know your purpose. And number two, if you don't have that business card, because if you even have a business card that says your name on it, your phone number, and your email, and you're in that elevator with that person that could be really helpful in the future, or God forbid, you're literally next to like a really attractive person, you have a card. It doesn't need to say what you do for a living if you have a job or don't have a job. It just says who you are and where you can be reached. Because once you find your purpose, once you have your passion, and once you have a side hustle, then the person who has your business card, they might reach out to you and be like, oh, you were so cute, want to grab drinks? And you can be like, actually, you know, it's been a decent amount of time. I started this side project, boom, boom, boom. It's all right there. So you don't need a business card. You don't need to know what you want to do for a living or who you're going to be, but you should have a business card that has your name and has all of your information on it. I found that to be so helpful. I've had so many business cards, you guys, over the years. Mine right now says like president/CEO. I'm literally like, who even made these business cards? They're really good cards. People do really like them. But for me, I still hand out business cards all the time. And especially because a lot of the people that I talk to and a lot of the people that I network with are older people. Like, I'm at a stage in my career right now where many of the people who I talk to are older executives. I'm talking like the big guys here. These are the bigger guys in the industry. And they're so used to business cards. And that's how a lot of these people got further in their careers than, you know, some of these Instagrammers and stuff, is because the traditional ways of networking truly are the best ways. So that means the business card. That means going out to places and shaking somebody's hand versus writing an email. It's like you're cold pitching yourself. You're cold selling yourself all the time. If you could become the camera, don't you think that a camera should always have a business card so somebody would know, like if a camera was a person, so somebody would know where to buy the camera. Am I right? Think of yourself like that. Start thinking of yourself as a brand. So then when you start going to all these events and 90% of them are going to suck and 10% of them are going to be good, you're like, this isn't even you. You are the brand. So when somebody rejects you or something, think of yourself as like an inanimate object. And unfortunately you have feelings, but you don't really, because you're putting yourself into the mindset of a brand. You know, you're a company in yourself. Regardless of who you are, you don't need to be an entrepreneur to think of yourself as a brand. You're all human beings. You're all public figures. So start thinking of yourself like a brand. And the rejection part, you get used to it. I have a lot of people at these talks and a lot of young people who ask me, how do I get used to the rejection? Rejection doesn't get easier. You get stronger. So the thing about rejection is you have to realize whatever career path you take, the more successful you want to be in the end, the more rejection you're going to face in the beginning. So if you want to do something like work at McDonald's for your whole life, good for you. If that's what you want to do, like go for it. But you're going to face a lot less rejection than somebody who's trying to be the next Bill Gates, right? Just because realistically, it's not an easy path to become Bill Gates. If you settle on wanting to work at McDonald's and that's what you want to do, then sure, you're not going to have a lot of rejection because you're staying in your lane. You're staying in your comfort zone. But if you're trying to push the envelope like a Bill Gates, you're trying to do something that's so unusual and you're trying to make people talk and create this change, then you're going to face rejection because two things. People never want to see you succeed. So even me nowadays, people are constantly, even people that I work with will say things, or I have people say things all the time, or executives or whatever, and they don't want to see me succeed because to see somebody succeed is a lot harder than watching yourself succeed while other people are below you. And the minute people start making their way up and they deserve it and they work hard, everybody wants to push you down. The second thing, I totally forgot what I was going to say. But besides that, that number one thing is people don't want to necessarily see you succeed. So if you're creating that change and you want to do something crazy unique with your life, then rejection is part of it. And it's rejection in your personal life and rejection in your business life. So I deal with rejection all the time. Oh my gosh, I went on like 3 dates over the past like week and a half, people that like I've met in public, and I was ghosted by all of them. And this is very unusual to me because number one, I don't really date. And number two, I realize now why I don't date. And it's because like ghosting somebody to me is so bizarre. Why would you go out with somebody and then not talk to them? But like, I'm being rejected. I'm rejected today. I was supposed to have a video show come out with my radio show, and they put together all this stuff. And then they were like, no, we actually, I was told today, what was I told? That I looked really like mad or mean in the videos. And I was like watching this video and I'm like, I don't think I look mad or mean. But if that's what you think, then like, okay, I think a better way to handle it would have been like, tell me what I'm doing right or wrong. But if you're not going to do that, then I'm not going to take it personally. Everyone can always improve. Everyone can always do something different. And if you're the one making the main decision, then tell the person below you what they should do differently or how they should improve. Because that's what makes rejection easier. But a lot of time people are just like, no, and they're not going to give you a reason. So if you, in a sense, can start training yourself that people are going to say no, and they're not going to give you a reason, it'll be so much easier dating. It'll be so much easier with like friends when they cancel on you. It'll be so much easier in business because people don't have to give reasons. And so they're going to do what they're going to do. And it's either you take it personally or you realize that it doesn't matter. What matters is what you think of yourself. What sets you apart too? So when you're walking into a room, I always like to think of myself like that. So when I'm walking into a room or I'm networking with somebody or I don't know anything, even what I do in my business, I think, okay, what sets me apart? If I want to be on NBC next week and they've already interviewed 5 bloggers. Okay, what sets me apart? Well, I'm an entrepreneur. Some bloggers aren't necessarily entrepreneurs. I have this summit coming out. I have a podcast. Like that's what sets me apart. So what sets you apart? So the minute that you start pitching yourself or you're trying to network with somebody, you can kind of start throwing a little thing like, oh, I do this, you know, not cocky in a sense, but like, yeah, this is what I do. Or I think this is what makes me different than everyone else because you're constantly proving yourself. And again, when you're a brand, you have a lot of competition. Like think if you're putting yourself back into the mindset of what that camera is. So if you're the Sony camera, think how many other cameras out there are exactly similar to Sony. So Sony, when they go into, if you're, I hope this like analogy, is that what this comparison is making sense. But if you're putting yourself in the mindset of like what this camera is and how it's making it different, what sets like a Canon camera apart from a Sony camera, apart from like a GoPro, you know what I mean? And they all have different things. So start thinking of yourself in that way. And then it'll really be effective for you to network because you're walking in and you know what sets you apart and you know what's going to sell yourself. There's like certain things that you can say, and I have my own things and you'll have your own things that will sell you to somebody and not sell you in like, you know, like black market prostitution, but sell you in the way that's going to land the business deal. That's going to get you the internship. That's going to get you into the college. And if you don't know how to find what sets you apart, learn. Dip your toes into everything. Go get an internship. And I guarantee you, you get an internship or like some job, even if it sucks, and you'll walk back into a party or an event or some networking thing 6 things later, and you'll have a completely new thing to say. And that's because you've already now gotten out of your comfort zone. You've done something different in every opportunity, a good one or a bad one. I like to not necessarily say good or bad, but any opportunity, positive or negative, let's say that, you're going to learn something from. So take it with a grain of salt and know what sets you apart. And you know, you may leave everywhere with somewhere good, and you may leave everywhere with somewhere bad, with something bad, not necessarily like something, but you might leave somewhere and you have a great time and you meet a lot of people, or you might leave somewhere and you have a shitty time. But like I said at the beginning of this episode, a lot of times you don't necessarily know. So it's either you can put yourself out there, you can do what I did when I was younger and look where I am now, or you can stay home and think about it. So that's what I'm saying. If you're a little bit in the middle, then pick one day a month, pick like one event that you know, or like one birthday party, and force yourself to go. And if you really want to ditch and your friends want to stay, then leave. Say you have to get up the next day. Like, don't let peer pressure, we're all adults here, don't let peer pressure convince you to stay out past your bedtime or something because you think you should. The whole because you think you should, I hate that, because I do it all the time. And until I got lunch with Danielle, that's what I kept thinking. I think I should, or I think I'm going to meet somebody. And again, you don't know. You could meet somebody, you might not. So you can take the risk a few times occasionally if you're like me and you want those deeper conversations, or you can totally skip it. But then if you don't have FOMO, then great. And if you do, then evaluate and think, okay, well, what can I do that gets me out of my comfort zone, that like gets me in front of these people and has me going to these events, but doesn't necessarily make me hate like going to them and hate going out, because that does suck and you don't want to be unhappy on a Saturday night. So pick and choose your battles and pick and choose the friends that make you feel fulfilled. And those deep conversations, you will get them. If you're not having them right now, then enjoy it for the ride. And then you'll get that group of friends. And it's really, really incredible once you have them. And for that first year, I'm telling you, of living in LA, oh my gosh, you don't even want to know. The most difficult year of my life. And now I finally have that group of friends where I feel like I can call them in the middle of the night and they would all be there for me. And that's great, because when I moved here, I really started over. I had those people and I left them all to get out of my comfort zone and do something new with my life. And as scary as that is, I'm so glad that I waited this year out, because if I had left, I really would have given up on myself. And the worst thing you can do is give up on yourself. You really do miss all of the shots you don't take. So if you don't put yourself out there, if you don't get out of your comfort zone, you're missing out on things you don't want to miss out on. And it's really, really easy to find yourself through these different events and through things that make you uncomfortable. But you have to be willing to give the world a shot, let the world direct you in some way, shape, or form, and see where you end up. So I hope that helps. I don't want to go on too long about networking, because I think I shoved a lot of stuff into this episode. But I hope this really does help and line out kind of how I got started with networking and what I think is important. I think you guys should all have business cards. Stay tuned, because I'm going to do a giveaway. I think that business cards are so important, and I'd love to see every single one of you have business cards. But if you ever have questions or you want advice or something, please email me. My email is on my Instagram profile. My email is everywhere. Or tweet me, DM me, whatever. This podcast is meant to be a learning thing for you. I'm sharing everything I've learned that I wish people had told me through this podcast. And I'm sharing it with you guys so that you guys can go out and done what I've done with my life, because we can all do it. You just have to be willing to take the first step. So that's it, you guys. Episode 54, episode 55 is next week, and I will be taking the week off. I am so physically, mentally exhausted from this conference. I just need to hang out. I need to make hot chocolate with my friends. I need to be a normal 21-year-old for a little bit. So back to LA January 10th, I think. And then from there, we're getting rolling. That's not even 3 months until the conference. Oh, is it 3 months? Yeah, it's like 2.5. Oh my gosh, 2 months and 15 days until the Be Fearless Summit. Oh gosh, I'm shaking my head. I'm already freaked out about it. but I'm going to have a lot of I'm going to have a lot of business cards there. So make sure you guys, if any of you can be available March 15th in Philadelphia, I'd love to meet some of you. And I hope this episode really helped. Tell me what you love, what you don't love, who you want to hear on the podcast by writing a review on the App Store, which is available on the podcast app. And also, This Is Life Unfiltered is available on all streaming platforms. So Spotify, iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, we're on everything. So just type in This Is Life Unfiltered and you can hear all of us. Love you guys. Have an amazing rest of your week. Get out of your comfort zone this week. Try a new food. Go to an event. If you hate it, you hate it. And then you do something new the next day. You'll have forgotten about it by the time that it even registers in your mind. I promise. All right, guys. Have a good week. Bye.